Good evening, and you are most welcome to this week's episode of Let's Go Green here on Midlands 103. I'm your host, Aisling O'Rourke, and each week we try to tackle environmental matters, whether it be global efforts to tackle climate change or the measures that we here at home in the Midlands are making to do our bit. Tonight's show, we're going to be looking at incorporating some plant-based meals into the weekly diet. Yvonne Carty of Hey Pesto will be with us a little bit later on to give us some tips and tricks on maybe not to go full-on vegetarian or vegan, but maybe to forgo meat once or twice a week. She'll also be giving us tips on when we're out and about doing the groceries and trying to shop seasonally so that we're not buying vegetables or fruit that really shouldn't be available at this time of the year. I'm looking forward to my chat a little bit later on with Yvonne, and I know she is very popular with our listeners. But first things first, we are joined by a newly crowned Sustainable Energy Authority of Ireland winner, Brendan Dooley of The Factory. Brendan, you are very welcome to the programme.
Hello, Aisling. Many thanks for inviting us on. Yeah, great to be here. Yeah.
So, Brendan, for our listeners that haven't heard about The Factory before, what is the company? What is it that you do?
Well, we're a very small, I suppose, in the overall scheme of things, a very small business. There's just 11 of us employed here. We're near the Fye Valley, not far from Barr, and we're down a side road. And the work we do is we do branding, design, printing, sign making, and web development.
Okay, so all things branding, really, you know, when it comes to whether it might be the designs initially, but actually then going the full circle to actually making the signage and all of that as well.
That's exactly correct. Yes, everything from the design right through to whether it's a printed item or a sign bought.
Okay. So 11 people working there. You're in, I think it's fair to say, a pretty rural part of Offaly.
Yeah, we're down a side road. You probably wouldn't find us if you weren't really looking for us. There is a small sign pointing down this side road, L7005, if you're interested. But you might miss it if you were driving too fast because we're near a bend on the road. But it's surprising, really, where you can run a business from these days with the internet and whatnot. It's really great because I'm just thinking, we did a survey some years ago about customers' experience. And we noticed that the customers who travelled to the building, because we obviously use couriers, the one negative that I remember was they mentioned the potholes. Whereas obviously we have a lot of people who never visit the building because the transactions and all the design work has proved and whatnot online. And then of course the delivery brings the product to the customer. But it's just surprising that you can run a business really from anywhere, as far as I can see. But the internet connection is important. We were lucky that we were on that first list of 3,000 when the rural broadband scheme or the fibre scheme was rolled out. So, in fact, we were the very last building on this road to be connected, which was really beneficial to this business.
And it's a very good point. Like, you can run a business from anywhere, but you need to be connected to the world. And if you don't have that good, solid broadband connection, you're at a real loss. So, yeah, it's a very valid point. So, Brendan, you are a graphic design company, a sign making company. What got brought you down the environmental sustainability side of things? How did that all come about?
Yes, so I and some of my family worked in forestry, and through forestry business, in fact, we began publishing a magazine by chance. As I remember working in the northwest near Ballina, Castlebar, that part of the country. And there seemed to be a big disconnect between people who were harvesting timber to people who were working in nurseries to the sawmills. They all had some contact with one another, but there was never a full picture. And in fact, we began publishing a magazine, then that's in 1990-1991, and eventually that led to The Factory. But as part of the whole forestry scene at the time, Scandinavia were and are the real leaders, obviously a lot a bigger percentage of the land is afforested. But there, a lot of the content and news we would receive from there related to sustainability. And that really, I suppose, was the initial drive to encourage us to think about it and see what we could do. And there seemed to be a big deficit of information, and the urgency with which we needed to become sustainable wasn't really known here. So when we actually started the print factory in 2000, that was initially to print our own forestry magazine, sustainability was at the heart of everything we did from there on.
And I think, you know, it's a fair point. Other countries have been doing, have been making efforts to tackle climate change and to protect the environment for an awful lot longer. I think here in Ireland, we are a bit late to the game, and I don't think that's unfair of me to say. So when you set up the facility, you're saying you started from scratch and you were able to incorporate environmentally friendly policies at that early stage.
Yes, exactly. So I believe we were the first printer in Ireland to use rainwater as part of the printing process and to use vegetable-based inks. In fact, we didn't promote that very much at that time, because I remember some people who did see what we were doing. I remember one person calling us, describing us as hippies, in fact, at that time. But so we didn't really market it. There was no positive side then in the early days from advertising the fact that you were doing things a little differently. In fact, if anything, it was a negative, because you were seen like doing something a bit different, and like, why would anybody want something that wasn't the norm? But thankfully, in the last 5-6 years, I suppose, in particular, sustainability has come to the forefront, and that really has in fact, in a way, it has given this business a unique selling point, which is a little bit unfortunate, because every business really should be sustainable or needs to become sustainable. Or, of course, we all have a big problem down the road. But yes, that's when it started from. And as I say, in recent years, that has definitely helped the business grow.
I'm curious about the vegetable-based inks. Does that limit your colour palette at all?
Initially there were, yes, challenges with it. And probably... One of the biggest ones is that we were probably trying things that others hadn't. And I remember in those early days, we had some issues where if we printed, say, a colour magazine, for example, a person's fingers might actually pick up some of the colour from the page. I'm serious about this, because we had some complaints about it in the early days. But since then, that has moved on a bit. But there were issues for sure in the early days, because there just wasn't enough information or enough known about it.
Surely, though, if we are going to make like really substantial changes, we need to be open to experimentation and realizing that, OK, we might try and make this change in our company, but it might not work. We might have to go back to the drawing board again.
Yeah, there's definitely trial and error, and it is a learning experience. But thankfully now, though, I suppose the biggest single area where we, became more sustainable, if that's the right phrase, is that replacing old machines that needed a lot of energy and electricity with modern digital versions. That probably reduced our electricity requirements by 50% or very close to 50%. And moving on then to more recent times, then of course, when we installed solar and wind, they really helped move the business much further down the sustainability path, I suppose you could say.
When you made that change to the machinery, and like I know only a couple of weeks ago, we had a spokesperson on from the SEAI, the Sustainable Energy Authority of Ireland, reminding us all that it's the time of year to get the boiler at home serviced, that a regularly maintained and serviced boiler is a more eco-friendly and efficient one, regardless of the fuel that you're using. But I imagine at your scale, replacing out that old machinery and buying in the new digital one, that requires like a considerable outlay and a massive investment of funds.
Yes, we did have to extend our borrowing to maximum, but I will say we were also helped a lot by the local enterprise office. In fact, during various stages, initially, I'm just thinking back, the first step for us, we originally had an oil boiler. The first step was to install a solid wood burning boiler as well, and both were connected to the system, and that was to burn a lot of incoming supplies arrived on pallets, so then we could burn those pallets. So that reduced our oil requirements a certain amount. And of course, then in the last few years, just moving on, we now have a near-to-water heating system. So we were able to keep the radiators, but that is, of course, is powered by electricity exclusively. So there are now no fossil fuels consumed directly, either in transport or in heating this building. So thankfully, we're moving along the path. It's still a journey, a long way to go, but it's an important step nevertheless.
So talk me through then the changes that you've made in recent years. You mentioned like solar power, wind power there. You know, it seems to me that you've been very creative in your approach to it all.
Yes. In fact, we were planning a wind turbine back as far as, I think, 2005. And we even went on a DIY wind turbine building course.
Oh, wow. But, okay.
It was only then when my daughter Lisa joined the business back, I think in 2018, on a full-time basis, that we really put our heads together to think how, like we had a sustainability agenda, like how could we really tick every box and perhaps become an example in the whole area of sustainability. So I remember at the time we had a meeting here in the office and there were so many of those yellow sticky notes on the wall, like there must have been 40 or 50 different steps that we identified that we could do, even though we had been working on this for years. There were so many things that we were thinking about that we hadn't done. So I think, it was in 2018 then we decided, now it may seem a little bit reckless, but we decided that we would either become sustainable, do everything we could to become sustainable, or the business would fail trying. But of course, that's not such a big risk as one might think, because of course, if a business isn't sustainable, it will inevitably fail at some stage anyway. And the other point is that we learn from business that if an enterprise stands for something, in fact, it's more likely to do well than one that doesn't. So we had all this in the back of our minds. So at that stage, we listed out all the things we need to do. We had to borrow quite a lot of money. So we went to our own bank, AIB, who are really helpful. But they did say, like, this is kind of beyond what your accounts would show made sense. So they directed us to the Strategic Banking Corporation of Ireland. And in fact, they helped us with the interest rate was favorable. So it seemed perhaps like somewhat of a risk at the time, but in fact, that has all been very positive for the business.
What drives you to be brave enough to make these, to take these risks?
Well, I don't know. When you think about it, say when we were young, our children now going to school, you'd assume that the adults are doing the right thing to make, to make a great future. But like really, we now know, in fact, this is really the first generation, I think Mary Robinson writes this in her book, we're really the first generation to realise the damage we're doing to the environment and perhaps the last generation that can really sort it out. So like, for the younger people, it's really important that we embrace sustainability and I think do everything we can to become sustainable now. I think it's one of those times when the phrase pay it forward really makes sense.
Brendan, you have been working towards being a sustainable business for a very long time. And now, as you mentioned yourself, the mood music has changed and all of us are being encouraged to do, whether it's at home, in school, in college, in the workplace, as entrepreneurs, we're all being encouraged to make those changes and become more sustainable. But it can seem overwhelming and daunting, and it can be difficult to know where to start. So given that you have been a leader in this area, what advice would you give to companies thinking about making changes and following in your footsteps?
Well, it's difficult to say for exactly what, but in our case, one of those sticky notes that we put on the wall in 2018 was further education. So we put that down as a priority. And in fact, three of us have since attended a climate resilience for business course provided by GMIT, now is it Atlantic university. I can't think of the initials now. But
to be honest, I'm having a hard time with all the rebranding of the different educational institutions. I'm having a hard time keeping up as well. So we won't fault you on that one.
Yes, but so three of us attended that. So we did bring a lot of knowledge into the business. That was really important. But to make it perhaps easier for others, this is something we were thinking about. So like if you are one or two person or a small business, we're lucky here there were 11, so we could actually share the tasks set out to become a more sustainable enterprise. But if you're a very small business, to take time out like is difficult. There are so many roles that a small business owner has to, they have to manage and perform, that it's very difficult. So that's exactly something we had been thinking about. So based on our experiences, and it did take us a long time, and to maybe facilitate and make it easier for other businesses to pursue a sustainable path, that we, in conjunction with the local enterprise office and Offaly Local Development Company, are working on providing a course, perhaps just a day course or something like that, where owners of small businesses or community groups or whatever could come here for a day and see in practice exactly what we've done, and maybe pick out one or two things that they could implement in their own businesses. I think like there's a lot of talk about sustainability, but the actions are perhaps a little less plentiful out there. So what we feel is that to encourage other small enterprises, that they can come, see what we've done, they can see the silly, stupid things we've done sometimes, and see what's worked out better for us. And that might accelerate their journey to sustainability. And we also intend to share costs, like what the return on investments were, and what how that has helped this business. Because there are many, many advantages, may not be obvious, to pursuing sustainability. And in fact, I would say the sooner a small enterprise pursues sustainability, the better, because ultimately, like what is optional now will most likely become law at some stage. Mm. But if you're first or go earlier, then there is, unfortunately, now a unique selling point to being sustainable, and the demand for sustainable products and services is predicted to grow substantially within the next 5 to 10 years, like by an enormous amount. So I would encourage, I'd kind of recommend small businesses to pursue it, that it will help their enterprise financially. There may be an investment required initially, depending on how far down the sustainability path you'd like to go from the start, but it will help that business financially, ultimately, in the longer term, to be a sustainable business.
Can I ask you, Brendan, and I'm not sure of the connection to the environment and sustainability, but I'm curious, I know that you've implemented a 4-day working week. How did that all come about?
Well, I suppose we were lucky. We were thinking about it for a while. I remember initially my daughter, Lisa, who's in the business now, as I mentioned, when she was younger, I remember her saying to us that, why is the fun part of the week always the short part? And this was in the back of my mind. Is there any way we could make the weekends a little longer, maybe? So then when COVID came about, this was an opportunity for us to trial the 4-day work week. And it has worked well for this business. There may be some downsides, but overall, I think it has been quite successful. I would mention that probably the a negative to it, which people will be curious about, is that some customers will expect you to be open 5 days, because most other businesses are. But they will adapt to that quite quickly when they discover you are closed a particular day. But the advantages are many, really. I suppose an obvious one, if you can actually close your business doors for an extra day, then you don't have to look after lighting, heating, etc. So that keeps the running costs down. But then I suppose a really important point to make is that when a business genuinely pursues sustainability, there is a ripple effect through staff and through, I would say, customers. And they will see that you're really seriously trying to create, I suppose, trying to create a better future in some shape or form. And they will help and assist, and they're prepared to work with you. And we have had great encouragement and support from our customers. And the other thing I would add is that even from a staff perspective, like, I know wages are important, but I don't think it's everything in either. And that, like, when you're working towards maybe a slightly different goal than maybe a regular business, that I think that helps motivate staff, and they really give it their all. What I notice is we have, there is a group chat set up. I can't remember on one of those social mobile phone gadgets, and they share thoughts, information, things they've seen, all to do with sustainability, like during out of work hours. So like everybody really is working for the business almost full time, even though they're only here for 4 days. So that really is a plus, I think.
It sounds like it's very much working for yourselves in the factory. This award coming out on top in the SEAI's small and medium business category, what does it mean now for you?
Well, it's obviously fantastic motivation for the team, and of course for all the staff who've supported us. Like, this is like, they have all played a huge part. But going forward, I suppose, I guess encouragement shows that we're kind of doing something right, I guess. And the other thing is, I did mention that we do hope to help and encourage other small enterprises along the way through providing courses here, mm-hmm. in conjunction with the various local enterprise support groups. But them and their customers, encouragement too, that we actually know a little bit about, have some experience that has been validated by third party kind of thing. So it definitely will be helpful from that point of view.
Well, Brendan Dooley of The Factory, congratulations again on coming out on top at the SEAI's Energy Awards Small and Medium Business category, and flying the flag high for the Midlands. It's fascinating to hear what you have been at. And perhaps, Brendan, when you launch that course, you might come back on, have a chat with us, and encourage people to take part.
Absolutely. I'd love to do that, Aisling. And many thanks for having us on. That's great. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your time, Brendan. Coming up after the break, as I said, we're going to be joined by the Midlands resident chef, I'm giving her that title, Yvonne Carty of Hey Pesto, to talk about cooking plant-based meals. We'll be back after these. You're listening to Let's Go Green here on Midlands 103. I hope you're enjoying the programme so far. Just wanted to take a moment to remind you that we are now available as a podcast. So if you are listening to us on Midlands 103 FM, you can now tune in to Let's Go Green at your leisure on Spotify, Google, and indeed Apple Podcasts. Please do follow the podcast and subscribe so you're notified each and every week of every episode. And if you're in the mood, please do share it with your friends and family and colleagues, and indeed write us a review. Well, Sunday just gone marked World Food Day. And with that in mind, we're going to be joined shortly by Yvonne Carty to discuss how we can add some plant-based meals into our weekly diet. You're listening to Let's Go Green here on Midlands 103. And as promised, we are joined by Midlands 103 resident chef Yvonne Carty of Hey Pesto. Yvonne, you are most welcome back to the programme. And tonight we're going to tackle plant-based cooking. So, like, I know a lot of people over the years, and I was for many years myself, I was a vegetarian. And then in my 20s, as a teenager, I should say, the full decade of being a teenager, I was a vegetarian. And then in my 20s, I don't know, a light bulb went off and I wanted to eat meat again for some reason. But, you know, if you don't want to go down the full-on vegetarian or vegan route, but maybe you think, I'm going to try maybe having a meat-free meal once a week. That's great in theory, but then you arrive home from work and you're exhausted and you don't really know what to put together to make a meal out of just vegetables. So I'm hoping you might be able to give us a little bit of inspiration this week, Yvonne.
I shall do my best, Aisling, and it's lovely to be back. I did it myself. I was a pescatarian for 14 years, I think. So I've had experience trying to come up with tasty vegetarian meals. I think what a lot of people are doing now, as you say, they're going what they call flexitarian. So because the price of meat and whatever, if people want to eat really good meat, they're cutting down, they're not having meat every day. And I think that's the thing, you know, the meat-free Monday started off and now people are doing one or two meat-free days a week, or maybe even more. Things that I would do, or that I do for myself, because I still eat quite a lot of vegetarian food. I find it, especially if I'm just cooking for myself, I'll do vegetarian. I would batch cook. And again, I'm back to my favorite slow cooker. I would do a large vegetarian chili and put that into, you know, put it into batches in the freezer. So then I just take it out when I come home and have it with maybe some rice, or even cut up a wrap and put in the oven, put in the air fryer, and convert it to air fryer since the last time we spoke. Just crisp, you cut it into triangles and make your own tortilla chips, much healthier. Obviously, there's no, you know, you've no hidden fats on it, and just throw them into the air fryer for a couple of minutes.
And if you're like, because to me, immediately, like I love a chili con carne. I haven't actually cooked one in a very long time. But like you put meat in that. So how do you make a vegetarian chili con carne, Yvonne Carty?
Well, it wouldn't be con carne, but just a chili, isn't it? Yes. Con carne is with meat.
Sorry, so, yes, I know.
So it's chili. I would fry off my peppers. I got a tip from, I was watching one of my favorite chefs, Jamie Oliver, and he roasted all the vegetables first and fry them on a griddle pan. So you get a smoky flavor into it. And then the one thing you add, so I would do onions, and then I would griddle off my peppers and maybe some aubergines or whatever I have in the vegetable tray. And then I'll add in cup of coffee into your vegetables. And then add in whatever pulses you want. So you can use lentil. You can actually do it all vegetables. Or if you want it to be more like a meat one, I would add in cooked lentils. And you can do it either way. If you do the red ones, they'll kind of go down into mush. But if you do the green ones, they'll hold their shape.
And so now, that gives you. Are these, Yvonne, lentils that you buy in a bag and you soak, or ones out of a tin?
The red ones, if you buy them, you don't have to soak them. You can cook them straight away. So they take about 10, 15 minutes to cook. You just boil them up and let them simmer until they're soft. The small green lentils as well, you can just rinse those and then boil them. The lentils, you'd get more the chickpeas and so on, you'd have to soak those if you bought them in the bag. But you can buy, for convenience sake, you can buy tinned cooked lentils. And a lot of the supermarkets now have little sachets of cooked lentils.
Okay.
So they're making it easier, you know, for you to do the plant-based diet.
So your lentils then...
And that's your protein. For all intents
and purposes, it will look like your minced beef.
Meat, yeah. And that's, if somebody is trying, they want to go plant-based, but they don't want, it's not very good for your system to go fully straight to lentils and pulses and everything. Like your tummy might react a little bit. So introduce them gradually. But what I do if I'm making a spaghetti bolognese with mince is I'll use half mince, half red lentils. So when I've made my mince, I put in the lentils and then they'll just dissolve down into it. And people don't know. People won't know the difference. And it's a great way of stretching out your meat. I mean, if you don't want to go plant-based, it is a way of stretching out meat and doing it. But then gradually reduce the meat and just then you'll just have your lentils.
Okay.
But don't go all at once. And another great standby to have, and I would always have, I think about a dozen tins in the cupboard, are chickpeas. They're brilliant for bulking out things as well. Yeah. They're another source of protein. I would do a chickpea and sweet potato curry. And again, do a lot of that and put it in the freezer because that freezes quite well.
Can we go back to the chili for a second? Why do you put the coffee in?
Now, if you think back, Aisling, you're probably too young. The cowboy movies, when the cowboys in the movies were making their chili, it was in on the pan, on the fire, and they always threw the coffee into it. And I read about it somewhere and I tried it and it actually gives a lovely depth of flavour to your chili.
Okay. And so are we like, does it matter if it's like an espresso coffee or an instant coffee or, you know, does that make a difference?
I just use filter coffee. So whatever I have, but it's just make sure it's a decent cup of coffee.
Okay.
You know that, yes, a decent, it's not, you don't want a watery cup of coffee now. You want a decent, strong cup.
So a strong coffee and like, are you talking now a teacup or a mug?
Probably about Half a mug.
Half a mug, right. Okay. Okay. Well, you know, specifics, like, these things are important, Yvonne.
I'm not sure if I have the recipe on my website, but if I don't, I'll put it up.
Okay. Fantastic. That's a new one on me. Sorry. I know, like, I used to put in chocolate into my chili and a bit of ketchup.
Oh, yeah, you have to put chocolate at the end. You put a square or two dark chocolate and it enriches the sauce.
Okay. I always stuck ketchup in there because I felt it added something or other. I know the face on you. I know, but someone told me once, it may have even been Jamie Oliver. Sorry, didn't tell me directly. I mean, on the telly said it was a good idea and I copied and it worked out. Okay. So chili, and like a chili, as you said, a chili's great for batch cooking and you can take it out.
Brilliant.
Now, obviously, if you're going to batch cook it and freeze it, you're going to need to take it out before you go to work in the morning. It will become a solid mass in the freezer. You're going to need the kind of thing that takes a while
to defrost.
Little
bit of planning.
Yeah. Okay. And then, okay, right. What else could we try?
And say we could do a chickpea and sweet potato curry, which is another quick and easy recipe. Chickpeas by themselves, just quick one would be if you fried off an onion, add in maybe a chili, a little bit of garlic, then just put in your chickpeas and a jar of passata or a tin of tomatoes and let that simmer away. Put a bit of smoked paprika into it. Then you have a dish, you know, if you've any peppers lying around, throw them in. But there's a beautiful one that I've tried it a few times and it's a great one again for your batch cooking. It's not my recipe, unfortunately, but I wish it was. Ottolenghi has one for braised chickpeas and they take about 3 hours, I think, to cook in the slow cooker, but they're well worth it because the flavor in it again is just gorgeous. And it's a real hearty comfort food. And speaking of comfort, actually, there's another one. We did it the other night at class. An Indian dal, like, there's another easy recipe. And I know I'm nearly sure the lentil dal, the coconut and lemon dal is on my website. And it's, again, that's using the red lentils and they just dissolve down and they go into one. And a bowl of that for me now is just comfort food.
And something like that where, as you say, with the red lentils, the fact that they effectively dissolve into what you're cooking, then because, you know, and I don't know, is it that my body is changing as I get older? But nowadays I find the look of the food is really affecting my appetite.
So important, yeah.
And if it's something that, like for me, I don't know that I've ever really cooked with lentils. I think I've tried and failed once and never tried again. So if it looks different, I might be slower to try it. Whereas now that I know the red ones are the ones that are going to dissolve.
Yes. Well, the easiest way to start it, actually, is to say the next time you're making, if you're making a meat bolognese, throw in a good handful of the red lentils. And like thankfully, they're still cheap. Mm-hmm. They're about €1 for a 500 gram bag in most supermarkets. Or you get them in health shops, you know, anywhere like that. And they're always a great standby to have.
And they're the kind of thing that you could have in the cupboard for a long time and they'd be grand.
Because they're dried, so they'll keep. Yeah, I have a big jar and I just top them up.
And like there would have been a time when if we got you on and you started talking about lentils and turmeric and all that, you're thinking, where on earth am I going to find all these? But any good supermarket now, even the smaller supermarkets have all this stuff now.
They all have that. And like, I know when I went vegetarian first, I was in college and I just decided I was going to do it, but you couldn't find anything. Mm-hmm. Of course, that was only about 5 years ago, you know, it wasn't that long ago. But you couldn't, like, getting even things like lentils, like you had to go to the health food shop and you were definitely, as you say, you were labelled weirdo for looking for these foods. Yeah. But now they're mainstream. The other thing that is a good idea to have in your freezer, like have a few standbys in your freezer that you can throw together, even a stir fry. So if you're coming in hungry, and keep jars of, say, sweet chili sauce, or there's a beauty, you can get a mushroom soy sauce, which is great umami flavor into it. And but if you have a packet of edamame beans in your freezer, they're a protein source. Have some sliced peppers, bag of onions. You know, they're frozen. Buy them frozen. Then you can take it. Thankfully, it's come around that now you can't. You're not embarrassed by having frozen vegetables in your freezer. because the wonderful Jamie Oliver has said that, you know, and all the chefs are coming out now, that you only use what you want. It's not like you buy vegetables and you throw out half them. So it is a way of saving money as well and being economical with your food and cutting down on food waste, which is very important.
And it's hugely important. And I have been the someone in my life who is a big advocate for frozen vegetables for that exact reason. She takes out what she wants.
Yeah, what you need.
And she does eat it. And as well as that, like, you know, now that an awful lot of us are back to working, going to the office or going to the place of work, like, you know, it's a bit of a shock to the system after all those years of working from home. And, you know, we don't necessarily have the energy when we come home to start chopping up and peeling carrots and all of that. Is there a way of on, because my thing with frozen veg is that I find sometimes they can become slimy when I cook them or kind of like.
Yeah, I would always do a mix. Now, I wouldn't really use the frozen ones so much in a stir fry. Only if I'm really stuck, I'll use the peppers. But if you throw them into the slow cooker when you're cooking something, they cook down perfectly.
Okay.
That's another one. You could do a pepper and chickpea stew in the slow cooker. Just tomatoes, onions, peppers, lots of smoked paprika for flavor and a few tins of chickpeas.
Okay, fantastic.
I mean, and again, years ago when you were a vegetarian, you couldn't get tinned chickpeas. You had to soak them overnight. You had to boil them for 3 hours. And then you were going, oh, do I really want to eat this? Mm-hmm. But now you just open a tin.
Yeah, I remember finding out about hummus and then trying to find tamarind and yeah. Ended up having to go to Dublin to an Asian shop, I think. And, you know, it was just such a rarity, whereas like you can just buy and you can buy hummus in the petrol station nearly at this stage. You know, things have come on a lot.
Yeah. The wonderful thing about like the way Ireland has changed so much and there's such diversity, like, and we've so many different shops now. I mean, nearly every town has an Asian shop or a Polish shop, and we have our own, like the traditional shops, but the variety of produce is just amazing.
Yeah, it is. And a lot of like, say, if we remove the large supermarket chains out of it, like I know for people who are trying to do their bit for the environment, they'll try to buy seasonal vegetables. But if you go into a big supermarket and they have everything, like it's hard to know. Like you nearly need to be Googling, is a carrot in season at this time of year? Should I really be buying this? You know, whereas if you go into, well, the local Asian shop or the local vegetable shop or, you know, whatever nationality shop it might be, they tend to have fresh in season vegetables and you're making, there's a bit of less head work involved.
And of course, there's all like back to my favorites. There's the farmers markets and you'll always get your fresh in season vegetables. Mm-hmm. And it's a challenge. Like if you go over and you see, like at the moment, there's pumpkins everywhere, right? Not just for Halloween, but make a pumpkin soup, use it in curries, use it, dare I say pies. You could do a chickpea and pumpkin phyllo pastry pie.
Oh, okay.
Put a bit of sweet potato in as well.
Yeah.
Beautiful flavors.
Pumpkin soup. Now, I do love pumpkin soup. I haven't made it in a while. Pumpkin curry is fabulous, actually. Mm. I've tried it out myself and it is lovely. And it's one of those things that, particularly at this time of year and the temperatures are starting to dip.
Yeah.
And you arrive home and you want to just warm yourself up. It's a lovely dish altogether. And what about for people listening to this going, I don't have time to be carving out a pumpkin and it's an awful bit of a mess.
Do you know what you do? Especially, we'll take the easy one. Take the butternut squash.
Okay.
The easiest way to make butternut squash soup and pumpkin is the same. Just cut the squash or the pumpkin in half, take out the seeds, drizzle it with a bit of oil, put it on a baking tray, put it into the oven for an hour and a half until it softens, and then just scoop the flesh out of the skin. So there's no chopping.
Because I think there's been a few injuries in our house caused by trying to chop a butternut squash in particular. But it is, and like butternut squash is another one. I always feel like it's an often forgotten vegetable. Like it's so flavoursome. It's great as a roast veg, but you can do so much with it.
Yeah, it's brilliant. And I love it. What I would do, if I'm not using it for a soup, then I'll make a puree out of it and serve it as a vegetable that way. Because, cutting up butternut squash, it's just, life's too short.
Well, you heard it here first. We've all been doing it wrong. I thought you have to stand there and slave at the chopping board and try not to cut your fingers while you're carefully peeling off the bits of skin. But no. Okay. So we cut the butternut squash or the pumpkin in half. We remove all the seeds, stick it in the oven. What temperature?
Yeah, and I would put it about 180.
Okay.
Put in the little hollow where you've taken out your seeds. Put a little bit of chili or ginger if you like a bit of spice in it, and a bit of salt, and then drizzle it with oil and bake it.
Could you, because I have a habit, and I don't know if anybody else does either, because somebody once a scientist that I interviewed told me that turmeric would be good for my brain, I have a tendency to putting turmeric in lots of different things. Could I chop up a turmeric and put it on top? Yeah. Okay, great.
Yeah. And then what I would do when I'm making the soup is that when you've done that and pureed it, and I throw in, what I do is get my roasting tray, put my squash and my pumpkin on it, put a sweet potato on it. If I have a carrot, I'll put that on as well, roast them all. Then mash them, when they're done, scoop them out. So you don't even peel the sweet potato. Make your soup, fry an onion, put in the puree. And then instead of stock, I'll often put in coconut milk. And it makes a really rich soup.
Okay.
And then squeeze a lemon at the end or squeeze a lime.
And
it's vegan then.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Fair point. Mm. For people who might be afraid of using coconut because they might not know whether or not they like it, can you taste the coconut milk in it?
Yes, it's creamy. It gives it a lovely creamy texture.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Coconut milk is brilliant for doing things again. If you want to go vegan and plant-based, if somebody wants to avoid dairy, it's a brilliant alternative. I mean, obviously curries, everything, even in that dal I was talking about, I use coconut milk. So again, it's kind of on the shelf in my pantry beside the chickpeas. Mm-hmm. There's always at least a dozen tins of it.
I used to love a cream of vegetable soup, and unfortunately for medical reasons I've had to give up dairy, so I've been missing it, and it never occurred to me to try coconut milk, so I must give that one a go now.
Yeah, give it a try, because it kind of came about out of necessity here one day, because I was catering for something and I was vegan, and I would normally have added a little bit of cream or something, so I tried it, but it worked out really well. And just become a staple again, and it freezes well. And if you want to freeze it, if sometimes when you add the coconut milk, it'll still be quite thick, so you can add stock to thin it down. But if you're going to freeze it, don't add the stock. Freeze it like that; it's almost thick. And then when you take it out and to heat it, add some stock to it.
Okay. Well, Yvonne Carty of Hey Pesto, thank you so much for giving us some inspiration for, I think, some winter warmers and plant-based cooking. Yvonne, do you have any classes coming up that we might get involved in?
At the moment, I did an initial supper club last week, so I'm hoping to launch that for once a month after Christmas. I have my Christmas day coming up on the 12th of November. It's a full day of cooking. If anybody's interested, you can contact me. And then because I was thinking about what you said today, I'm going to start vegetarian classes, a set of them in January.
Fantastic.
And I'll be advertising a few Christmas ones as well, because, we don't want to get too healthy coming up to Christmas.
Ah, no, sure. Like, what was it that somebody said? I saw a meme on Facebook the other day. If you switch out your morning coffee for a morning green tea, you remove that 5% left of joy from your day. So we do need to indulge and have a treat, and all in moderation, of course.
Yes.
Yvonne, we find out about those classes and courses on heypesto.ie?
Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, thanks again for joining us on Let's Go Green. And
thank you.
I'd be very interested to see and even taste what our listeners come up with after our chat with Yvonne tonight. Well, I'm afraid that's all we have time for on this week's episode of Let's Go Green. I hope you enjoyed our show. Thanks, as always, to our contributors each and every week. And of course, if you would like to be featured on Let's Go Green, or indeed you have an idea for something you'd like us to do on the show, please do get in contact with me, Aisling O'Rourke, directly through midlands103.com. Have a great week. We'll be back same time next week with another episode of Let's Go Green.